I am not a long-winded preacher, but I can preach long. My preaching determines on you. The more you holler, amen, preach, the faster I can get through. The longer it takes you to say amen, the longer I preach. It's up to you. So don't say, Pastor Jimmy, don't bring them back no more. No, don't go. No, you should have said amen. Now listen, don't go to sleep. If you go to sleep, that's 20 minutes added to the sermon. And if you snore, that's another 30 minutes. So look at somebody next to you and tell them, it's up to you, it's up to you. So will you help me preach on this evening? Let me see those Bibles. Let me see those Bibles. Lift them up where you got the hard copy, cell phone, or pad. If you have the word, lift it up. Say this with me. This is God's holy word. I believe it to be saved. I read it to be wise. I practice it to be holy. I memorize it to grow. Let's go to work. From the 42nd book of the Bible, the third book of the New Testament, Luke, chapter 15, a very familiar passage of scripture that I want to deal with on this evening. All of us are familiar with this passage. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 17 and concluding at 19. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. If you have it, say, I got it. If you don't have it, say, wait on me. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 17, and I'm reading from the Voice Bible, and it says, so he had this moment of self-reflection. What am I doing here? Back home, my father's hired servants have plenty of food. Why am I here starving to death? I get up, return to my father, and I say, Father, I have done wrong against God and against you. I have forfeited any right to be treated like your son. But I'm wondering if you will treat me as one of your hired servants. I want to talk about, just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about when self has a conversation with you. When self has a conversation with you. Pray with me, please. I think all of us in here one time or another been guilty of talking to ourselves. Okay. I must be in the wrong place. I'm the only one that talks to myself. Every last one of us in here talk to ourselves, whether it's quiet or out loud. We talk to ourselves. Now, sometimes, how many of y'all ever been in an argument with your husband or your wife? I got a few. Now, how many of you all, if you ain't scared, are like me? When this argument come, I don't say nothing. I leave her talking to herself. Thank you so much. I just leave talking to herself because I'm quiet now. But let's look at this. My brothers and sisters, all of Luke chapter 15 is spoken as an answer to the accusations of the Pharisees and the scribes. In verse 2, they was arguing and complaining that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. Luke 15 and 2 said that Jesus is not just receiving sinners, he is looking for them and eagerly awaiting their coming. He has an eye out for him. He wants them to come. He is seeking sinners and tax collectors to come and eat with him. And I'm afraid that's one of the things that the church of today has lost. We don't look for sinners no more. We don't expect sinners to come to be with us anymore. We just come to church, we do our thing, and we go home. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's looking for the sinner. He found you, didn't he? He found you. Look at it. So the Pharisees and scribes, they accuses him. And all of the rest of the chapter, Jesus' explanation to them of what is really happening when he welcomes sinners to eat with him. See, the first answer, if you look at it in verses 3 through 7, you'll see the first answer is that his receiving sinners is like a shepherd who finds a lost sheep and celebrates with his friend. The second answer found in verses 8 through 10, that he's receiving sinners like a woman who lost a coin and celebrates with her friend. And in both answers, Jesus, no doubt, he leaves no doubt about what he means. Because in verse 7 and 10, he tells the Pharisees that the lost sheep and the lost coin represents lost sinners. And being found, watch this, represents repentance. And celebration is what God and the angels are doing in heaven. Watch this here. When sinners turn from their sin and come home to God, guess what? God is glad. God is happy. Now in verses 11 through 24, watch this, Jesus gives a third answer to the Pharisees' accusation. When he receives sinners and eats with them, is like a father who finds a lost son and celebrates with everyone in the house. All three illustrations have found this in common. See, one of the things that I come to find out, that a lot of time when we preach on Luke chapter 15, we want to call it three parables. We say the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost, because that's what we've been accustomed to. We grew up that way. But the truth of the matter is, Luke chapter 15 is one parable with really four illustrations, because there's another son who really don't get talked about. It's one parable, because when you look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible said, and Jesus spake this parable. It don't say parables. He speaks this parable unto them. So it's really one parable, three illustrations, four if we talk about the other son that was at home. So when we look at Luke chapter 15 verses 11 through 24, we see the third answer. All three illustrations have this one thing in common: being lost, being found, and followed by a great celebration. Verse 6, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Verse 9, rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost. And then verse 24, rejoice with me, for this son of mine was lost and now he has come home. Look at it, look at it. They all begin to celebrate. A lost sheep and found, what happened? Party. A lost coin, found, party. And then a lost son, found, party. Isn't that, so what makes you think you can't celebrate in church? What makes you think, listen, can I help somebody? whenever somebody comes to church and give their life to Christ, there ought to be a celebration. If there's a celebration in heaven, certainly we can celebrate. I mean, after all, this is called new life. And if anybody come in here to get new life, if nobody else don't get happy, at least new life ought to get happy. Listen, I told our church that, you know, I don't think our church is the only church that ever had a dry spell where no visitors came, just members every Sunday. I told our folks, if we get one visitor, y'all ought to get happy. You ought to get happy if you see one person that you ain't seen. You ought, don't be looking like, what they doing here? Don't. They come in and sit down. Go meet with them. Introduce yourself. Make them feel like they're a part of the family. Look at it. Look at here. Little beloved, let me give you a prelude to my passion and compassion, to the understanding of this particular illustration of the parable known as the prodigal son. Let me introduce this text with this story. August 2017, Cook County officials buried over 60 bodies in Homewood Memorial Garden, just outside the city of Chicago. Who were they? People who have no one that knows or cares. They just died. Someone found them on the street, in a park, in an alley, or in a lonely house or apartment. The officials search for relatives. The medical examiner office waits and holds the body. No one comes forward to claim the body. So what did they do? 180-foot long trench is dug at the cemetery, and wooden boxes are lined up next to each other and buried. No stone, no markers, no name, because no one knows who they are. And this happens every month with 20 to 30 unclaimed people in the city of Chicago. When I read that article, what hit me was the lostness of so many people in our society, lost from virtually everybody, surrounded by millions of people in Chicago, and not a single person seems to know or care about them. In my home church, one of the members of our home church, been a member of our home church over 30, 35 years. She was sick, went to the hospital. She kept in touch with one or two members of our church. She has two children, a son and a daughter, that lived out of state. They never stayed in touch with each other. Their mother died, and they didn't know. Finally, they got the word that their mother was in the morgue. But the word is, my brother told me a few weeks ago, that the kids never came to claim the body of their mother. How could you be lost in a world full of people and no one cares? No one knows you're alive. No one knows. Listen, in the body of Christ, if you've been sitting next to a person in church and they haven't been there one or two Sundays, somebody ought to go look for them. Somebody ought to ask what happened to the person. Listen, I tell our people every Sunday, what we do every Sunday at fellowship time, we go around and we meet and greet one another. I say, get to know the members by name. Quit asking me, Pastor, what's the lady name that sit on the third row with the pink hair? You don't know her name? you're part of the body of Christ, get to know one another. As a matter of fact, everybody look at each other right now and just introduce yourself. Go and do it right now. Go and do it. Don't look at me. Look at them. Watch this. Here it is. No one seems to know or care when they die. This feels like absolute lostness. But it's not. It's not. It's not. For you see, absolute lostness is when you cut off from God. Let me drop this into your spirit as I get ready to head back home. It is better to die unknown by every human in the world than to die unknown by God. I believe I better say that one more time. Let me rewind. It is better to die unknown by every human in the world than to die unknown by the Almighty God. See, if we feel a fearful sense of alienation because 60 plus forgotten people buried in a mass grave in Homewood, Illinois, how much more should we feel fearful prospect of dying without God and without knowing God? Luke chapter 15 is about the love of God coming into the cities and suburbs of our world to find lost sons and daughters. It's about the identity of Jesus the Christ and the meaning of his mission in the world. Then and now, we have to get the word out that Jesus cares. Come on. Let's go. Come and go with me. Let's dissect this text for a minute. And I'm out of here. I see now this is going to be a long sermon. I see now. Let me just get myself relaxed. Let's go. Let's dive into this text. The Bible says, when he came to himself. Watch this. When he came, he began to have a conversation with himself. He said, self. Self said, yes. How many of my father's hired men have more enough to eat? How many? And here I am, dying with hunger. How did he get there? I'm quite sure if my grandfather was preaching, he would say, you know the story. How did he get there? He left home. Said, give me the portion of good. See, when you read the text, when you get down to that 11th or 12th verse of Luke chapter 15, he goes to his father and said, Daddy, give me what's mine. Give me the portion of good that falleth to me. The daddy divided it. Gave it to him. He left home. The Bible said that he went into a far away country. And there he began to waste his money on riotous living. I mean, he was buying the latest fashion. He was whining and dining. He was cool. He was hip. He had everything. Going to drinks on me, on the all around. He was having him a good time. But the Bible said that a famine came. See, listen, how many of you all know that anytime you leave God, you can go next door. But if you leave God, you're in a faraway country. And the more you go down in sin, the farther away you get from God. So now famine comes. He got to sell whatever little bit he had, trying to make ends meet. No friend. How many of you all do know that when you get broke, you don't have no friends? As long as you got some money, you got some friends. Long as you got a car, you have some friends. Long as you have a house, you have some friends. Long as you have food, you have some friends. But watch when you get broke. No food, no clothes, no friends. Can you imagine this young man calling up his buddies? They looking at their cell phone. They let it go to voicemail. Can you see him texting his friend? They don't respond to the text. He Facebooked them. They done defriend him. Is that such a thing? Unfriend him, whatever the statement is. Don't want to be bothered with him anymore. Here he is now in the pig pen of life. In Pig Pen University. Nobody but him and Porky Pig. Nobody. He's hungry. He had to join himself as a citizen of this world. Left God. Now you're part of the world. Sitting there. Hungry. He has to eat what he's feeding the pig. Now you do know. Let me talk to this side over here. You do know that if it had been you or I in that pig pen, with all that bacon, all that ham, all that pork sausage, we wouldn't have to be eating no pig food. Talk back to me, somebody. Listen, we'd have made us a barbecue. We'd have made us a barbecue pit. That's the barbecue man over here. We would have made us a barbecue pit, put a few pieces of wood on that thing, made us a fire. We probably would have got fired, but we'd have been full. Been full and fired. Fired and full. Now he's in this pig pen of life. He's in Hawk Pen University. Now he's talking to himself. How many hired servants my father have? Bread, enough bread to eat. And I'm dying. I'm starving with nothing to eat. He comes to himself. Look at it. Notice about three elements in his repentance. The first element is he comes to himself. Verse 17, he comes to himself. See, when you are alienated from God, you are always alienated from yourself. See, you can't know yourself or relate properly to yourself if you are running from the one who made you for himself. Listen, you was made by God in the image of God for God. See, these are the three main things about your identity as a human being. In other words, you were made by God, like God, for God. That's all it is. So therefore, conversion is coming to yourself. Coming to yourself. Watch this. As well as coming to God. See, it is discovering where you came from and who you are and why you exist. See, watch this. Running from God is also running from yourself. You don't want to accept who you are. But the truth of the matter is, God did not make you for you. He made you for him. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? Well, listen, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't mean to bust your bubbles and everything. I don't mean, and what I'm about to say, I hope I can come back even after I say what I'm about to say. But the truth of the matter is, it ain't never been about y'all no way. You ain't all of that. I know you think you're a bag of chips with some hot sauce and flaming hots and all that, but it ain't about you. It's all about him. He made you for himself. Repentance is waking up to this truth, to know that I'm here because God made me. You see, one of the things that I have a problem with, if folk don't like themselves. I love me. All of me. Folk don't like themselves. They don't like their hair, so they get new hair. They don't like that hair, they go buy hair. They don't like this color, then they make this color. Because they don't like their hair. They got to change this here. They got to lose weight. Quit eating so much.